it is the only thing that is getting built. There'll be no houses, no social houses, no high quality apartments, or very little of those, because co-living becomes the thing. It becomes the new, very attractive, you know, high yielding housing, but it becomes a legacy issue. You then end up with potentially the new slums, or the new institutions, and you know, Ireland unfortunately has a sorry track record in terms of institutions.
What would Threshold make, if Threshold were to make a call on this, what would it be its call to say a minister listening in?
Houses and apartments can be built to a high quality standard, and we believe the market can build them. Now, you might need to make certain interventions in the market. For example, you know, we've talked a lot about cost rental, and many housing specialists have talked about, you know, providing rented apartments in a way which is still financially viable, but where the rents are not like incredibly high and completely unaffordable. Now, as it happens, the rents are still relatively high for, say, a two-bed. There's an example currently of a cost rental block or blocks been built in the south side of Dublin, and they will be let for €1,200 for a two-bed apartment. Now, that's better than €2,400 for a two-bed apartment.
But if you look in Vienna, for example, I don't know if you saw on Channel 4, there's an architect from Newcastle, actually, and he was in a social housing development which had its own heated swimming pools on the roof and indoors as well. It had saunas. It had a whole community. These were large apartments that families of all sorts, from all sorts of strands of society, were living in very happily. And only paying €600 a month for. I mean, is that not really the model we should be going after?
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned Vienna. I think it's interesting that you mentioned Vienna, because
I mean, it's known for it's a beautiful and very European city, right?
Yeah, like this year, Dublin City Council itself and the Housing Observatory within Dublin City Council have been at pains to really promote what they call the Vienna model. So the very, you know, looking at the various kind of aspects of housing policy, urban design, and showcasing that to kind of a wide audience, you know, NGOs and civil society organisations, but crucially the planners, the builders, the developers, like they really need to kind of see and hear what's going on there. Ultimately, it comes back to something we've talked about before, which is around, I guess, the common good. And a kind of a sense of a social contract, if you like. And I guess in a place like Austria, now there are many issues in a place like Austria. It has problems with the far right. It's returning a centre-right government by the looks of things now. But it does have 70 years of mostly a social democratic model, which, you know, I guess levies taxes at a particular level, spends national and municipal monies in a particular way. And I guess where countries, and this is a kind of a historical context piece, where countries were heavily involved in the Second World War, and where there was an abject lack of housing stock after the Second World War, you do find very ambitious housing projects, including in the social space. It's true for the UK back in the day.
But the UK model has failed, like it has in Ireland. Why is it so successful in Vienna, when, you know, as this architect was saying, basically that, you know, in Britain and in Ireland, you know, there's a complete, oh my goodness, imagine ending up in a tower block. Where in Vienna, it's like they're delighted and very happy in these scenarios.
I think there's a couple of factors. One is, you know, the model of social housing provision shifted in the UK from one of kind of quality provision through to the influence of, I guess, you know, what you might call the new right, and letting the market decide, under, say, Margaret Thatcher in the UK and Ronald Reagan in the US. So there was this kind of axis of the new right, and that really did change housing policy in the UK. So that's one aspect. I guess the second aspect is about kind of design, architecture, building materials. I think it's fair to say that a lot of stuff, I come from Glasgow, a lot of stuff was thrown up relatively cheaply in high rise, which ended up not actually being all that high density, because you had high rise, you know, these blocks in the middle of prairies. So then when you looked at the number of households per square kilometre, you know, you actually could have built something a lot lower,
mm-hmm.
but utilising a lot more of the space.
Could so you argue that for Ireland? Because, I mean, there's an awful lot of empty space if it's properly planned and proper infrastructure.
I think, you know, the city fathers of the likes of Dublin City Council and others, they get that. But the, I guess the challenge is... There's limited state land to build on. There's definitely some. There's probably more than a lot of the statutory authorities make out. But there are always limited resources. So if it's a private developer who own their own land, they're always going to squeeze as many units, whether they're houses or apartments, out of that, you know, piece of land, whether it's a postage stamp or a playing field. So I guess that's a constant pressure, but I think a lot of the, you know, designers in positions of authority do get the positive benefits of sustainable urban design. The question is how to pay for it. The question is all the other kind of forces and factors that are at play in terms of the private sector.
What does threshold feel? I mean, we're in the middle of a housing crisis, a homelessness crisis in Ireland at the minute. What would threshold feel is the solution to that? What would it cost, do you feel?
There's two key strands, and the one obvious one is supply of housing, supply of social housing, supply of affordable rental housing, and greater supply of owner-occupied housing. So we're not just all about the private rented sector. A lot of people are in the private rented sector because...
They have no choice. Right.
You know, 25 years ago, 40 years ago, they would have been housed in social housing by the local authority, and that is less likely now.
But just to cut across again, sorry to interrupt you again, it's just this, is that an awful lot of people would resist building uniquely social housing estates because of the ghettoisation of communities. You know, is that fair?
I think it's overstated. And I guess, you know, when I'm talking about the need for supply, I'm talking about supply in relation to owner-occupied housing as well. And I'm talking also of the plight of people who, again, 25 years ago would naturally have and normally have bought their own home and now who can't, because either they can't get access to a mortgage for very good reasons, macroeconomic reasons, or the...
That's the economist coming out.
Yeah, I guess. But also... Because we have a situation where incomes have fallen way behind house prices in certain respects, and there's literally just not the delivery of housing for home ownership.
Where would you see threat? I mean, is it going to get worse before it gets better, John Mark?
Yeah, look.
Because you're at the coldest days here.
Depends on your standpoint, but from our point of view, for the last number of years, we've been in a rental crisis, which has been causing homelessness. It's been increasing the flow.
It's been causing huge misery, right?
Absolute human misery, disruption, distress, impacting on children's lives,
mental health issues,
their ability to learn, their ability to socialise, mental health issues for parents and children alike. So you have this flow, this increased flow from 2013, 2014 to the present day highs, of families getting priced out or evicted from their private rented accommodation into hotels, B&Bs, homeless hubs. Now, it's a dynamic situation. It's not that everyone is staying in the hubs forever. Like, people are being facilitated by organisations and charities and local authorities to move back into private rented accommodation. Believe it or not, there's actually social housing now coming on stream, delivered by both local authorities and the approved housing bodies, especially the larger ones like Clwyd, Respond, Ivy Trust, Oakley, people like that. So there are signs, there are very positive signs in terms of supply, because supply is now coming on stream. There are estates, there are, you know, apartments that are now coming on stream. They're well designed. They're often very well integrated with the local community. You mentioned there about social mix. There is an aversion to what we might have called in the past monotenural estates, so these large swathes like, I guess, Ballymun or Ballyferma. So that is less likely to take place, although I do think the social issues are overstated. I think there are issues associated with estates that go on forever that are all kind of middle class and, you know, very, very samey. You know, I think there's a real case for a more of a mix. I mean, I live in a neighbourhood in Dublin which is a real mix of kind of working class and if you like, kind of middle income people. I think the place is a bit more rich for it, you know. In terms of the kind of the wider level of supply and the solutions, supply is now coming on stream. We need 5-10 years more ambitious supply. That will depend on the economy and where we are in the economic cycle.
It will also depend on the government that comes in to replace the current one.
It depends on, yeah, the will of whichever government is in place, absolutely. But I guess most parties are of the view that there has been a dearth in housing